This is Peter Holzapple, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Ocho, seis, uno.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Waveform Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting is provided in part by Jared's Barbershop, where style meets tradition. Located at 4833 Route 9G Germantown, Jared's Barbershop offers precision haircuts and traditional hot towel shaves. Appointments and walk-ins are welcome 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays. Appointments can be made by calling or texting 518-948-6234.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Anonymous of East Hampton, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Ever since songwriters started writing songs, they have written songs about a rose.
About a rose.
Red roses, blue roses, old roses, new roses, roses from the south and east and west. But here's the rose song that I love the best.
The best.
Show me a rose, I'll show you a girl who cares. Show me a rose, or leave me alone. Show me a rose, I'll show you a stag at bay. Show me a rose, or leave me alone. She taught me how to do the tango, down where the palm trees sway. I called her Rose Amia, and she called a spade, show me a rose. I'll show you a storm at sea. Show me a rose, or leave me alone. One night in Bixby, Mississippi, we watched the clouds roll by. I said, my dear, how are you? And she whispered, so am I. Show me a rose, I'll show you a girl named Sam. Show me a rose, or leave me alone.
Show me a rose.
Show me a rose.
A fragrant rose.
Believe that you don't know me until you show me a rose,
a fragrant rose.
Gregory Forte. Bringing you voices from radio's past. Tonight we're going to be listening to a Gene Shepherd episode that first aired on this date in 1972. And it's all about Coney Island. Now, before we listen to Gene Shepherd talking about Coney Island, you're going to hear some songs about Coney Island. But before that, we're going to get reminded what a beautiful world it is. sun coming out, the weather feeling a little warmer, I'm inspired to play a song that was a big hit in Rome in 1957. It was a woman by the name of Nina. She had just one name, kind of like an early Madonna, or late Madonna. But she put out this song, translated Tanned by the Moon, and you could hear the American influence in it. And that's going to bring us to a story by Gene Shepherd. So let's enjoy Tanned by the Moon by Nina.
Abbronzate tutte chiazze, pelli rosse un po' paonazze, son le ragazze che prendono il sole, ma ce n'è una che prende la luna. Tintarella di luna, tintarella color latte, tutta notte stai sul tetto, sopra il tetto come i gatti, e se c'è la luna piena, tu diventi candida. Tintarella di luna, tintarella color latte, ti fa bianca la tua pelle, ti fa bella tra le belle.
It's like that short, fat guy I saw one time over in Coney Island. I've only been to Coney Island two times. And it's significant to report that each of the two times brought a cleaner milestone into my life. If you look around, you can see these milestones everywhere. Now, they're not really milestones. They're just small toothpicks sticking out at random from the vast canopy of existence. Little caviar there, and a little of the fried bacon. it takes many forms. Like this friend of mine was driving along Broadway on a beautiful summer Sunday afternoon. He's driving along there, and there's an air of as though, in a sense, things have been deserted on Broadway on a summer Sunday afternoon, when he looked out of his car window and he saw a small monkey pounding on the door of a bar that was closed. This was Upper Broadway, up around the 80s and 90s. And this monkey is pounding away at the door. The monkey knew exactly what he was after, and he's pounding at this door. My friend just continued to drive on, his face averted, because he wished to retain the sight of a solitary, small, underage monkey on a Sunday afternoon pounding on the door of a closed bar on Upper Broadway. This has meaning, I guess. It's like, you know, there is a trick to it. Not really a trick. Some people do, some people don't. Some people have the ability to walk through life, to kind of absorb it and reflect it and feel it churning inside of them, walk through life with the feeling that they have just been given the car for the first time by their old man. It's a summer afternoon. They have just learned to drive, and they are venturing out on their own, the first solo flight. All of their life, they can keep this beautiful, beautiful, clear mirror before them. And then there's the rest of the people, the great horde of the disenchanted. Of course, if you're going to face it, there are those two types, the enchanted and the disenchanted. And the enchanted are the ones who, of course, are slowly but surely being ground under heel, who will eventually be totally extinct. I got a letter from this guy, Jim, the other day, and he said, "Shepard, you realize, of course, that natural selection and the evolutionary process will eventually make your type of man totally extinct. The questioners, the believers, will finally win out in the end." Well, you know, it's like the second time I went to Coney Island, I'm walking along, and they have a batting cage there. One of these cages where you put a quarter in the slot, and this pitching machine pitches 10 balls at you. And you stand up, old worn Louisville slugger, have you seen that thing? And you swing away at it, 10 of them. And you can pick this. You can pick the kind of pitch you want. And you can set the meter. And there's one that says, slow lobber. And just throws a lob ball. You know, the kind the fat guys playing the skinny guys at the picnic. This kind of a ball. And then there's an underhand pitch by a left-hander. Slow, easy, comes in right over the plate. But it's not quite a lobber. And you can set it all the way on up to Carl Hubble-type fastball. Ryan Dern dusts you off. And I'm standing, I'm telling you an exact story. This is truly what happened. I'm not embellishing this one bit. I want to see somebody. Of course, I don't have the guts to step up to the plate, because I'm afraid of machines anyway, really. No, I'd like to qualify that. I am not afraid of machines. As a matter of fact, I enjoy many machines. One of the most amusing aspects of the type of writer who writes for The New Yorker or many other magazines of that type is that he must always profess an inability to deal with any type of machine. Well, I think this is a kind of a childish attitude, because most of us can deal with machines of one kind or another. It's when the machine begins to deal with us, of course, that the situation reverses itself. This whole theory was brought out by Thurber. Thurber's one of the great propounders of this. Well, of course, I don't understand how the little buttons work, and I press a button and the thing happens. And it's a kind of feminine helplessness in the face of the things which we have created. But be that as it may, I'm walking along there, you see, and I see this batting cage. Now, this is a thing that has a deep primeval interest to all men. It's in a sense, it is a synthesis of life, which is a challenge, of course. With some machine off there in the darkness throwing fastballs down over the inside corner of the plate. And we better swing, boy. You don't get another one. And it is. It's a synthesis. And you put it in. Everybody starts out with the same thing. Quarter in a slot. Throw it in there. It's like that big Mike Todd party. I'll never forget that. You put a quarter in the slot. You start out. Everybody starts out the same. Mike Todd, guys living in the Bronx, other guys who learn how to be airplane pilots, guys who play second base for the everybody starts out with the same quarter, see? And I'm walking along that street in Coney Island. And by the way, I'd like to recommend this. If you ever go to Coney Island on the days when Coney Island really isn't working. The kind of off days, like at the end of the season or before the season really begins. Then you, in a sense, get much more of a clear picture of what mankind is up to when he creates these vast seaside Babylonian bacchanal centers. And I'm walking along, and I see this batting cage over there. Now, for those of you who don't know what it is, a batting cage in the Coney Island sense is a cage. It's a big cage. And down at the other end of the cage, let's say the nether end of the cage, there's a big green curtain. And this green curtain says, home run. where it says pop up, out, strike out, that kind of thing. You see, wherever you hit the ball and you drive it up against that green curtain tells what kind of hit you got or what kind of out you made. And next to the home plate, there is a home plate down at our end of the cage. Next to the home plate is a rack that has maybe 25 terrible old clubs. They're not even bats, they're clubs, which is incidentally also, I believe, very symbolic of our life. So he picks up, the customer picks up one of these clubs, he pays his quarter, puts it in the slot, and sets the machine down at the other end, down there by that green curtain down there, is a machine that throws baseballs at you. This is truly, you know, this machine does this. And this machine throws baseballs at you, and you can set a dial to determine what kind of balls you want thrown at you. Now, this is a perfect situation for the guy who's really working. Now, if you were to pick the kind of life, if you were to pick the kind of curveballs you want thrown at you in life, what kind would you pick? I mean, what kind do you hit the best? I mean, assuming that there is an element of chance in everybody's life, no matter how it's worked, what kind of curveballs would you want thrown at you? Well, let me tell you what happens. Generally speaking, you figure that you'd put in the quarter and you'd set the machine to throw these little looping balls that are thrown at you at the skinny guy, fat guy picnic softball game, you know? But the actual secret of it is when you're faced with it, you don't. You really don't. Because every man secretly likes to think that he is a Viking standing at the prow of the ship about to meet the biggest dragon in the Western Hemisphere, and he's going to deal with him as best he can with a very small but very agile, very wiry lance. And so here I'm standing there waiting for some guy to come along, and it's one of those vaguely watery Saturday afternoons late in the season after the last Ferris wheel rider has sort of disappeared in the distance and the last kid with the Nathan hot dog has disappeared. And Coney Island is slowing up, and it's the beginnings of October or November or something. There's a little cold air in it. And along comes a little guy. It's a true thing, and I'll remember this to the dying day, because I had implications of it this morning as I'm coming through Times Square, the watery sunlight coming down, and the fountains of Rome still ringing in my ears. You know how it is to sit next to the Fontana di Trevi, and watch nothing but like starlings, tremendous hordes of star-struck Catherine Hepburn type tourists gathering by the millions and throwing quarters into this gigantic pot full of water, and I'm standing there watching this, and my mind goes back immediately to this little short fat man who somehow got himself involved with Coney Island on a Saturday afternoon, and he's working his way towards the sea, like all good lemmings. He's working his way in a solo way toward the sea. All of us, in one way or another, do work our way toward the sea, pulled ever, ever, ever by the primordial life. And so he's working his way down towards the sea, and I'm standing across the street waiting to see who's going to play this batting cage thing. And he stops and he looks in. He looks around and he notes that there are hardly anyone on the street. He can get away with it this time. And by the way, I think most of us, if we were given the choice, would play out our lives in absolute privacy so that no one suspects what we're doing. And this is all connected with the concept of original sin. And so he's standing there looking the business over, reaches in his pocket and pulls out a quarter. And he pops inside the cage, throws his quarter in the slot, and looks back at the rack and picks himself out a bat, one of these great big worn clubs with tape on the handle. And it is interesting to note that he picked one of the largest bats in the rack, this little short, round man who had long since gone past the 45-year milepost long before. He picks up one of these tape bats and steps up to the plate. And I couldn't see how he had set the machine. And I figured, you know, naturally, I figured he's going to get this little lobbing ball that flies out from the fat man and the skinny man pitcher there. And the next thing I knew, this machine up and let one go. You see, you set the meter, and the end meter all the way over at the end says Carl Hubble, Bob Feller. That's nothing but a fast straight ball right over the outside corner of the plate, waist high. And he sets this thing and it goes, zoom, like that. It went past him like a shot. And his bat just moved slightly. He steps up to the plate, kicks the dirt a little bit. He's waiting for the next one. I figured he's going to set the machine again, you know. He's waiting for the next one. He chokes up a little bit on the bat and hunches down over the plate. And you hear the machine going, zoom. And it goes into the catcher's mitt back of it. They had a big concrete catcher's mitt. Zoom. And he looks down, steps back out of the box, and hitches up his pants. That's two strikes. Steps back into the box, and this time he chokes up on the bat a little more, hunches over, and I can see all of his old kid baseball playing is coming into the picture again. This time he's kicking the dirt a little bit and hunching his left shoulder down. This time he keeps the bat sort of half over the plate, you know, hunched like Eddie Stanky used to. Eddie Stanky was not a naturally good batter. He just kept the bat hanging out over the plate all the time, and if the ball hit it, well, he was off, you see. That's the way he batted. And this is the way the guy's hunched down over there, and I could see this guy's been playing life like this all the time. Zoom! And he just ticked it, a foul tip that skitters off to the left of the plate and into the screen. He steps back. He got a piece of it that time. He's got seven more coming now. You get 10 balls for a quarter. And suddenly the machine wound up and threw him a change of pace. A small, easy, looping inside curveball, and he missed it. He swung like that, and he stepped back and protested the decision. Oh, what a beautiful drama of man's inability to cope with his own ambitions. Speaking of ambitions and the inability to cope, this is WOR, AM and FM, New York. We'll be here until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Now the point that we're making here, which of course is no point at all, because most of life doesn't have much point, if you're ever going to be really objective about it, it's the sense that you can find, if you look carefully, you can find a monkey pounding at all the closed doors of all the upper Broadways on every Sunday afternoon of life. And I'm standing there last week. It seems I'm beginning, as you notice, that slowly but surely that long rubber band is beginning to pull me back into the vortex of the now, where we live at this time. And it's interesting to me to note that most people prefer me the other way, with my other self off somewhere in Bulgaria or Brussels and me here. Which is it an implied rejection or acceptance? I can't detect which. And it seems like just about 3 or 4 hours ago, well, I did something. I'd like to recommend something to you. And this has nothing, I will put a disclaimer on it immediately. This is no commercial. I don't know anything about the people who ran it, or in fact, all I did was go down and...
So that gives you a little example of Gene Shepherd and his ability to tell stories. He would tell these long, elaborate stories throughout the night, and you'd have to listen carefully to the themes. But that one seemed to roll around Coney Island and people's ambitions. Anyway, we're going to listen to an old Yiddish song about Coney Island.
Die Menschen betroben a tropical town. Sie gefinnt sich a Platz beim tropical yam. Sie gesinnt sie dich weh, war jing hinaus. Wie die climate is heat, in die Wasser is kalt. In Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
Is a paar genegen in Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
Ah, this is mein Land. So give the tropical down to the tropical seashore. By then, yum, 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 yum. Siza Michael. Take an old shoebox, pack it up with lunch, because on the beach the bunch like to munch. You won't have to season the carrots and peas. There's garlic and cheese in the ocean.
nation breathes in Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
It's so continental in Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
Yes, that's my land. So take the family, Molly and Sammy, swimming in them. Yum, 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 yum. Sesame Chai. Your mouth. Here you sit in the sun, don't cost a cent. To billig be washed in your bed, Fabrens in Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
There's a bargaining in Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
Ah, this is my land. Fin Shane and Maidala, Corsing the Clay to Love, swimming in vain. Yum, 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 yum. Sesame Chai. Gepackt mit Stift in mich Schluck, sie spät bei Nacht in euer Club. Euch gemattert, gepattert, da zog in Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
Wir kennen deren Verblunches in Coney Island.
In Coney Island.
Nur das ist mein Land. So gib doch a tropical dance to the tropical seashore by thing. Yum, 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 yum. Sie ist am Lichai.
For getting us into the spirit of Coney Island. What we're going to hear now is a old 1937 recording of Mr. Carlo Brute. And then after that, my mom is going to give us an old recipe of one of her classics, Broccoli Rob. So I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to get a pen that works and a piece of paper, because you're going to want to write down this recipe from Pasqualina Di Esposito. And then after that, we're going to hear the familiar voice of Mr. Frank Sinatra.
Triste cos'è, e non risplendi per me. Lassù, tu puoi vederlo nel mio cuore, la delusione d'amore, questo mio grande dolore. Sai che baci mi sapeva dare, ed anche tu non puoi dimenticar, forse tu senti la malinconia, forse tu sai che non ritorna più, ma tu parli da luna perché sei tanto triste e cos'è? Puoi soffrire con me. Solo me ne andrò seguendo il mio destino in cerca d'amore. Non ascolterò durante il mio cammino la voce del cuore. la bianca luna, dal ciel mi guiderà, mi insegnerà la via e m'accompagnerà. Ma tu, pallida luna, perché sei tanto triste, cos'è che non risplendi per me? Lassù, tu puoi vederla il mio cuore, la delusione d'amore, questo mio grande dolore. Tu sai che baci mi sapeva dare, ed anche tu non puoi dimenticar. Forse tu senti la malinconia, forse tu sai che non ritorna più. Ma tu, pallida luna, perché sei tanto triste, cos'è? Vai soffrire con me.
This is Lena Forte. I'm going to be giving a recipe for rucoli daub. You need a fourth of a cup of extra virgin olive oil, one clove of garlic, crushed and coarsely chopped, one teaspoon of hot red pepper flakes, three bunches of rucoli daub, trimmed and washed very well. In a large pot large enough to hold all of the rub, heat the olive oil over medium heat. Add the garlic and the red pepper flakes and cook until the garlic begins to soften, about 3 minutes. Add the rub to the pot, cover tightly, and cook until the rub is tender, about 25 minutes. Enjoy.
Sleep warm, sleep tight. When you turn off the light, sleep warm, sleep well, my love. Rest your head on the pillow. What a lucky pillow. Close to you, so close to you all night. Sleep warm, sleep well. Let dreams weave you a spell. Sweet dreams of me. You'll miss me.
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Sinatra, for reminding us to sleep well, encouraging us. I hope you wrote down my mom's recipe there for her broccoli rabe. That'll be a recurring feature on this show, other than introducing you to some radio voices from the past. We're going to be getting recipes. But before that, we're going to have a very quick poem by Mr. Walt Whitman. And after that, Nina Simone is going to tell us about her need for sugar. This is Gregory Forte's Radio Museum here from WGXC.
A Clear Midnight by Walt Whitman. This is thy hour, O soul, thy free flight into the wordless, away from books, away from art, the day erased, the lesson done, thee fully forth emerging, silent, gazing, pondering the themes thou lovest best, night, sleep, and the stars.
Sugar in my bowl. I want a little sweetness down in my soul. I could stand some loving, oh, so bad. I feel so funny, I feel so sad. I want a little steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I need some sugar in my bowl. I ain't I want some sugar in my bowl. You've been acting different, I've been told. Some sugar in my bowl. I want some steam on my clothes. Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar in my bowl.
Violent man has come down on everyone. wrong which roams the earth. There can be no end to it. It is just unstoppable. Death is in my sights today. And when a man desires to see home after many years in jail, February through December, we had such a tragic year. As separate as the fingers, or suddenly as one as the hand. And the violent man comes down on everyone.
Mr. Monk for telling us how it goes and telling us everything happens to you. Anyway, I have just enough time to squeeze a little bit more Gene Shepherd on. Again, Gene Shepherd was on the radio mostly in his career in WOR in New York, 710 AM it was or is. He was on from 1955 until 1975. He did overnight shows and told great stories and was a great master of language. And we're going to hear a couple of minutes of him before I check off. You've been listening to WGXC in Echoard, Akron.
It's all going to make sense eventually. And we're going to arrive at that point when all progress has been progressed, when everything knits, everything gels, and man knows nothing but eternal happiness. Like, for example, the DuPont Corporation, you know, is working on a new formula. You remember when they first came out with tranquilizers? This was the beginning of a new era for mankind. Do you realize that they have found out? And don't say anything about this because this is really, this is the in stuff. Don't tell the kids about it. They found out that every human emotion is accompanied by a chemical change in the blood. And so these guys in the laboratories have been working it out the other way, see? They figure if they change the chemical composition of the blood, that they will produce the equivalent emotion. And boy, have they produced some great emotions just by taking pills. Eventually, all you'll have to do will be to go to the drugstore, you know, and they'll have this whole collection of stuff. Yes, some great emotions. Some of them they're even going to have to sell under the counter, prescription only. Can't you imagine yourself buying, I'll have the economy-sized bottle of lust, please. The economy-sized bottle of greed. How about the vest pocket container of anger? Yes, and DuPont is working on a fulfillment pill that is like, you know, the 7-in-1 vitamins. It contains all the major vices in one tablet. You just take one a day and you've had everything. Of course, you realize this is going to do away with the race, too, which is probably what we secretly want in the end. So there is possible better living through chemistry. Just stick with it. And I mean better living. You know what I mean, better living. I mean really better living.
Blame.
all the folks, they're laughing at me, 'cause I'm just naturally lazy, crazy, bad boy. All dressed up in fancy clothes, I ain't taking the trouble to
neighbor, I'm famous.